Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode 19 of the Self-Help Podcast with me and my good friend Sean Orford. How are you doing?
I'm very good. This is like episode 19, take two.
A little bit, yeah, a bit of a break from norm here. We're recording this intro in this sunny, well, it's a bit grey and cloudy whirl.
Yeah.
But we actually pre-recorded the episode last week in London, didn't we?
Yeah.
So you'll soon be transported to the hustle and bustle of that wonderful city.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
We explain a bit more what we were doing there in the episode,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
But before that, let's just do a bit of news, Sean, because there's a few mentions I want to get in. First up, we've been nominated for an award.
Which is extraordinary.
It is.
Amazing.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
The Podcast Awards, or podcastawards.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you to listener Mark Judd, who's nominated us in the Best Religion / Inspiration podcast. Yeah. We are becoming like a religion, aren't we? We're that popular. Bigger than Jesus, is it what John Lennon said? That could get us into trouble. Got him into a bit of trouble, didn't it?
Yeah.
We're not bigger than Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I just say that said nothing to do with me.
No, thanks, Mark. That's fantastic. I think you need a certain number of nominations to perhaps get into that top 10. So we're going to put a link on the website. If you like this show, you enjoy it every week, we would really appreciate it if you could spend just a few minutes submitting our podcast to their website for
that would be really good. Really appreciate it.
Because apparently there's a bit of an ease up in Las Vegas if you get in the top 10.
Yeah, and what we could do is we could record a podcast from Las Vegas.
Wow. Yeah. From the roulette table.
Yeah.
Do one on gambling addiction, maybe.
Yes, I could watch you going broke.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Mark. That's amazing. And we'll put the link on the website, so if anyone else wants to help us out, you can do so. What are your favourite podcasts, Sean? What would you nominate? Putting you on the spot there.
My favourite podcasts, apart from the Self-Help Podcast, are quite boring ones, I guess, because I like things like Melvin Bragg.
Okay.
And I listen to his stuff, which is good, which is very kind of intellectual chit-chat stuff, but it's kind of entertaining for me when I'm driving on, because he covers a wide amount of topics.
Mm. Yeah, me, I like the Here's the Thing one, which I mentioned a couple of episodes back, which is Alec Baldwin's just chatting with guys in the movie and industry and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Property Podcast, my good pal Rob Bentz, I help him set it up, and it's still going strong.
Yeah.
There's loads. I've just been... Yeah. I didn't subscribe to any 6 months ago, but now there's just a whole world of stuff.
Stephen Fry, when he's in the mood, does a podcast, and that can be quite entertaining. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so much good stuff out there.
Yeah. But,
thank you, Mark. Awesome. Other bit of news is that we're not going to do the news anymore, are we? We've had a little chat, Sean.
Yeah, no news is good news.
No news is good news. Unless there's something relevant, like
if
there's been an important person has passed on or something that we really need to talk about, we'll get in there. But we're getting the feedback maybe that people are liking get to know us, but they also want us to get to the get to the crux of the discussion.
Yeah, and I think that from the point of view of being positive, because the news is built around negativity, isn't necessarily a good thing to focus on.
Yeah.
And the more and more people I know who get involved in the idea of self-development actually stop listening to the news. You know, we need to be informed. We don't need to be inundated with the negativity.
So. Indeed, yeah. Okay, so let us know what you think about that.
Yeah.
And now we will transport ourselves 200 miles kind of southeast, sorry.
Your geography is good.
A bit off. And to London, and we're going to be talking about gurus, so I'll see you down there, Sean.
Yeah, I'll see you in a minute.
In a few seconds.
Okay, bye.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Edward?
I'm great, I should say. This is our first... We're on the move. This is mobile podcasting, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in the big metropolis.
We are in London. We've just delivered a little workshop for a charity called Rethink.
Yeah, a wonderful charity. Lots of work with mental health. Wonderful people.
Yeah.
Really good audience. Lovely.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I should say, we're in London. We're on the 15th floor of a building here. It's a bit windy out.
Yes, so you might hear some funny noises.
But
and if we look outside the window, we've got the MI6 building opposite.
Yeah, we've got government spies could break through the window at any minute and shut us down.
Yeah,
depending
they keep
on
interfering with our mobile phone signals, don't they?
They do.
It keeps cutting out.
So. Yeah, cool view though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And a lovely day. Beautiful sky.
It is, it's come good. hopefully this will sound all right, and apologies for any helicopters or trains that swing by, but hey, it's all part of the fun.
Yeah, yeah, and if you hear the wind, we're right up on the 15th floor.
Yeah, I think I already said that.
Okay, yeah. And we've said it again. 15th floor, that's third time.
Yeah, a quick mention to a reviewer who has kindly left us an iTunes review on the UK store. You know we love reviews, listeners. So we've got to thank Kate G. Garps, UK reviewer. I accidentally came across this project. It's great and really gets me thinking. I like this bit. I often listen to this while painting in the studio.
That's cool.
Helps keep me focused.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's good, because I think that if what we're doing can create that sense of serenity and calmness, perhaps...
Yeah,
then that's good.
Awesome. Thank
that's
you, Kate. Yeah, appreciate
thanks.
It. For everything we're about to talk about, you'll be able to find the links via our website. Go to livingthepresence.co.uk and go to the podcast archive, find the show, and you'll find all the links through to what we're going to say. Another quick mention, there's going to be, or by the time this goes out, there will be a new resource on the website entirely free of charge. The other part of Living the Present, on Facebook, did the 21-day kindness challenge, didn't she?
Yeah, amazing.
Each day, yeah. Put on a little tip.
Yeah, Ree's our unspoken resource, because you hear us two prattling away each week, but Ree's behind the scenes doing lots of things. Thanks, Ree.
Lots of things, yeah, and especially on Facebook with that. And what we've done is compiled the challenge into a nice little PDF.
Yep.
And it's on the site. If you sign up to our mailing list, you will be directed to download it. If you're already on the mailing list, we'll send you a copy in the coming days, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to our topic. Sean, this week we're talking about gurus. Who is your guru and why they're important or why not? Who's your guru?
Well, let's start off with what is a guru.
Oof, okay, rewind. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, guru, the word guru comes from both the Buddhist and Hindu tradition. And a guru was a spiritual teacher, and the definition was somebody...
Still is.
Right, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
I'm disputing that, because okay. I think that the way we use the word guru has changed.
Yeah,
but in that original sense, one who imparts initiation. Ooh. To that sense about spiritual initiation. And that makes an assumption about the person who we call guru in terms of their awareness or awakeness. I think that one of the problems in that spiritual religious sense, whatever discipline we're talking about, is that the guru goes from being a teacher to becoming some kind of deified figure. So they become a spiritual event in themselves.
Well, this episode was inspired last week by the recent passing of Goenka.
Yeah, Goenka, who was described as the guru, the teacher from the Vipassana meditation organisation, and that's fine. He was a good teacher, great, lovely. Guru becomes Guruji, and the G on the end is that respectful bit that we put on. So
it adds honorification.
Honorification, yes,
nice
that's
word.
The word, yes. So if you've been honorificated, then yeah. You've got G on the end. So if you wanted to honour your mother, you'd say Mataji.
Mataji.
Mataji, as in Mata. So Mataji.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd have Papaji. And Mamaji is actually your uncle, although it sounds like your mother is not your uncle.
Okay.
Mamaji.
But cool.
The idea that these people that are teachers, you know, when does teaching end and this kind of spiritual deification begin? Because one of the things I'm very aware of at the moment, there's discussions about whether one of the popes who has since deceased should become a saint. And that seems a pretty odd thing to me, because you get this sanctification of a person as a guru, as a teacher, but they become saintly because a bunch of people vote for them.
Yeah.
It's almost like an election. And can you be elected to being sainthood? Well, you obviously can in a Roman Catholic sense.
Yeah, but it would seem that kind of decision should be, if you're into that kind of thing, be taken by the powers up on high, maybe, you know, and... I don't know.
Yeah, it's an odd concept, isn't it, this whole idea?
Everything's odd when you look at it.
Yeah.
Everything.
But that idea that a guru essentially is a teacher, then, as you said to me earlier on, Ed, if that's the case, then everybody that you ever meet is a teacher.
Yeah, I'm big on this one. My wife is a teacher, a very good one at that. That's her profession. But I think that one of the main realisations for people in life should be that we are all teachers, you know, and you should wake up and understand that as early as possible, because then you can start having a proper positive impact on the world.
And because all of us learn right from the moment of birth, we learn from what we observe, then the things that we're observing around us create our own attitude. So it starts off with our parents and our siblings. And what are we learning? And one of the things about our whole system, our mind-brain system, is that it's neutral. It doesn't care whether the things that we're learning are positive or negative. So that the guru or the teacher could actually be a negative thing, not a positive thing.
Yep.
But my main teacher, who I suppose I could describe of as a guru, was a monk called Ramji, who I have a lot of respect for, which is why he's Ramaji on the end. And he's been honified in my system. Yeah. That he would say to me that if you're awake, then everything that you do and everybody that you meet is a guru. You learn, whether it's a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, a child. Yeah, a beggar. They don't have to
even
be some...
It could be an inanimate object or something that...
Yeah, yeah.
Just standing, an obstacle in your path, hey?
Yeah, or even something that inspires you. Maybe the view of a church or a standing stone or a tree. You know, anything. That teaches you something.
Well, we had an artist who's left us a review earlier on who likes to listen to this while working and finds it inspiring. So,
yeah.
Podcast G.
I like that. That's good. Podcast G. Yeah. The self-help podcast G. But that idea, I mean, if we're looking at, a guru is a teacher, and we now talk about business gurus, we talk about sports gurus.
Yeah.
I mean, who you're into sport. Who'd be a sports guru in your world?
Blimey. Everything. I mean, in the world of football... I mean, high profile is David Beckham. He's around the world, and he has armies of people turning up wherever he is. Interestingly, he's probably not one of the best, technically the best footballers of the last 10, 15 years. He wouldn't probably make it in the top 50 players, but there's something about him.
But would he be more of a guru of fashion or a guru of publicity?
Yeah, probably marketing and...
And, I mean, Mrs. Beckham does the same stuff, doesn't she?
She does.
And she must be a guru for lots of people.
Indeed. I think David Beckham transcends football, perhaps. And he does a lot of good work now. He's travelling the world doing all sorts and helping charities, so he's using his position wisely, I would say.
Hmm.
But then you've got a player, perhaps, like Messi, Lionel Messi, plays for Barcelona. Pretty much, there's no question as he's the best player in the world. He doesn't quite have that persona of Beckham, but... Perhaps he will be a guru for plenty of fans out there.
Yeah, and it's the relative area, isn't it? It's like I'm going off with a mate of mine called Den to watch a guy called Walter Trout in concert, who is a blues. He was a Canned Heat. He's a blues guitarist these days.
Yeah.
In the guitar world, for lots of people, Walter Trout is a music guru, he's a guitar guru, because he can do things with his fingers that other people can't do, or people would seek to emulate, they'd learn from him.
There's plenty in the world of music and entertainment in the whole, film stars, movie stars.
But maybe it's the people that are in our everyday lives. I mean, I certainly had teachers when I was at school, some that I would have happily poked in the eye, and some that were real gurus to me, who I remember today.
Yeah.
I can remember things they said.
Were we talking about Educating Yorkshire, that show, last week, or was it just I think we were just chatting in general about it.
But that's a good programme.
Yeah, and that focuses on some... It's a kind of fly-on-the-wall Channel 4 documentary in a school in Yorkshire. And every week it kind of focuses on... It tends to home in on one child and one teacher almost, and the relationship going on there. And it's really interesting, actually, and positive, generally, outcomes, some really good work being done there.
Yeah.
School is where you... I mean, that's where you meet teachers, isn't it? And some good, some bad, and some that you don't remember, and some that you do for the rest of your life.
But if you think about that also as well, I can remember being at school, and the kids in the year above me, or the year above that, seemed to be really kind of big and mature.
Yeah.
So they would be the ones that I would be looking to, and maybe emulating some of their behaviours, either good or bad.
Smoking... And by the bike sheds.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they were gurus too. They were teachers that I followed.
So in that sense, you need to kind of reassess, or people listen to this, maybe assess who it is that you hang around with the most.
And what is it that they are teaching you?
Yeah, because whether you like it or not, or you're aware of it or not, they will be teaching you, right?
Yeah.
Just jot it down, who do you hang around with, and are they positive relationships or negative? Do you respect them, right?
Yeah. Could you put G on the end of their word?
Yeah.
Could you honour them?
Hmm.
And one of the things, too, is looking at, if you're going to look at your friendships and look at the places that you meet, the places that you go, and looking at what is it that these people, these situations teach you, maybe the next thing is actually quantifying that. Do you think this is a good thing to learn or a bad thing to learn? You know, what's the positive that you're getting from this? Does it serve you well? Does it serve you badly?
Yeah.
Which would seem to me to be fundamental. Because from my point of view, when we were talking about this, and I was looking at people that I would consider to be gurus, the people that affect me most are the people that have overcome adversity. And they've done it with a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they're going through difficult situations. And one of the guys that came to mind for me, there was a TV series, I think they've been rerunning it with new actors, called Yes Minister, which became Yes Prime Minister.
Sure.
And there was a guy called Paul Eddington, who was the main character in it. And he died from skin cancer. And I saw him do an interview where he was covered in all kind of cancerous growths, as it were, on his skin. He was going very blotchy. And he was just so amazingly positive. And he's a Quaker, or he was a Quaker. And that idea of such positive spirituality in someone in against the odds, to me, is real kind of something to be honoured.
Definitely.
That, to me, is amazing.
You've got some pretty amazing examples, too, of people that are going through, well, coming to the end of their lives.
Loads of, you know, in the work that we do, and certainly the work that Ree does, much more than myself, working with people that are coming to the end of life, and the people that are so open-hearted and so wonderfully accepting and going with the flow of what's happening for them, as opposed to the people that are fighting and are very fearful of those experiences. But such amazing examples of people. There was a guy on the TV last week. There's a program.
Just one guy.
On Grand Designs, which is about people building fancy houses.
Yeah.
And this guy was come back from Afghanistan, I think, and he'd lost both legs and an arm. And there he was. He'd built this beautiful house, absolutely wonderful. You know, he'd had other people build it.
Yeah, yeah, he got a bit of help.
Yeah, and lovely wife. They just had a baby, and he was just so positive.
He was cool. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, and he had different sets of legs for doing different things.
Yeah.
Little stubby ones and long ones and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
And really coming to terms with the adversity that he's faced with.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, that is such a powerful lesson. For us, that kind of thing. And I'm sure around people listening to this, they must see people around them who, against the odds, are really, you know, coming out on top.
Yeah, it was. That's it. There's people in our lives and you think, I don't know how they do it, I don't know how they cope, but they do, and you can learn from that, mate.
And I always wheel out my classics, like, you know, Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela. They're amazing people that have done amazing things. And I'm sure that in your world, whether we look at mountaineers or, you know, sports people, whatever, that have done incredible things, they've gone that extra bit, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that they inspire other people to do other things.
Yeah, I follow Richard Branson online, you know, and... I mean, he just does everything with a smile on his face. It's easy in the online world to kind of hone your digital persona. I'm sure he has moments in his life when he's, I don't know, arguing with his missus or who knows what.
Sure.
But
yeah,
he just, if something goes wrong, you just assume that he dusts himself down and on he goes, eh?
Yeah. And I think that he, as a person, he started off in a situation where he had dyslexia and had lots of problems, and yet he bounced through that and is an amazingly positive person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of the things that you and I talk a lot about in our work, Live in Present stuff, is about people being persistent and consistent, and people actually being able to achieve things against the odds by being persistent and consistent. And that could be as simple as being able to stop smoking. You know, someone has been smoking for 20, 30 years and they actually stop it.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing thing. And that's such an amazing thing to show other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they become gurus in their own right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take on the responsibility, eh?
We are all gurus. We're all teaching somebody something by our behaviour and our actions, by our responses. And in that sense, we should all be responsible for who we are.
Yep.
And by that, I don't mean being po-faced and being visible, because you can still have a laugh and be a fun guru. But it's like being responsible, I guess, for who you are, in a positive sense, positive for what you do. You know.
Chatting to you about all things interesting and, you know, in recent episodes, or all episodes, a lot of people's problems can stem quite obviously, really, back to childhood and their relationship with their parents. Our parents are kind of our original gurus, and we don't have much say over whether they are a guru or not, because they're the only people we know.
Yeah.
Parents, whoever, whatever your situation is.
Yeah. And one of the things about that is that whatever you learn as a child is normal for you. That's your normal. And it's only when you step away from it and you compare it with something else that you decide whether it is a good normal or you'd like to change that normal.
Yeah. Do you get sick of telling your story? Because you ditched your dad pretty much as the earliest opportunity.
My whole family, really. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'm not holding any kind of negative stuff about it. That's kind of processed. But the thing for me was the reality of having to relearn things, because the things that I'd learned didn't serve me well. They were bad things.
Yeah.
And luckily, I found the right gurus or teachers that showed me other ways of parenting, other ways of being.
But were you actively looking for teachers, or did you just kind of stumble across
them? I stumbled and just stumbled into the right places. And whether that was something that was directed subconsciously, I don't know. But I found the right places and the right people, and they reparented and re-educated. Yeah, my attitudes were different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people are kind of, okay, let's say people have written down the five or six people in their lives they hung around with, and there are a couple of kind of on their list that they're not sure about or have cause for concern. It's tricky engineering your way out of a relationship, isn't it?
Well, I think there's two ways of looking at that, because one of the things, indeed, that came up in the seminar we were doing earlier on with Rethink was the idea of are all experiences positive or negative? And I think that, for me, the idea that even if you meet someone who's the baddest, darkest, worst person on the planet, they can teach you the most amazing things.
Yeah.
I actually have an experience. I was working with somebody who had done lots of positive things. She'd been a nurse and a midwife, and she decided to go off and to do finance. It intrigued her. She wanted to become a financial advisor. And she went to work for this guy, and she was effectively apprenticed there, and she was doing her financial qualifications. And this guy turned out to be a bit of a shyster. He was scurrying people and doing real kinds of negative things. And she was kind of stuck with him because she had to see it through to get her qualifications. And she came to me and said, "I really don't know what to do." Mm. And the point that I gave to her was that what this guy was teaching her how not to do things.
Yeah.
And there were lots of positives that she could gain from this. And the guy, from what I understand, went the way of all negative flesh in the end, and collapsed his business, as appropriately it should have done, I guess.
Indeed.
But he taught her things that she couldn't have learned on a course.
Mm.
Yeah, he taught her ways of how not to do things, and in doing that, taught her ways of how to do things properly and positively.
Yeah, so there might be people listening to this every week, and they hate what we say, but you can still take things from that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the issue, is that if you step in a cow pat, do you say thank you for this lesson of learning not to step in cow pats, or do you berate yourself and beat yourself up and shout at the sky? What do you do?
Mm.
Yeah, because in that sense, is there anything negative? In that sense, all situations could actually be positive if we face them in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do either. You just wipe it on the grass next to it. And carry on.
Kick the cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I think that, that it is where you came in, which is that for all of us, we are all both teachers and we're all taught. And that's the issue for me of humanity and society working together.
Do you think that actually someone having the title guru is not a great thing? Or
I think that the problem for me with titles like that is that as soon as you give someone the status of guru, it's hard to dispute anything that they say, and it's also easy to discount anything that you think or feel. And it could be that you're right and they're wrong, but because they've got the status of guru, what you think or feel gets sidelined.
Yeah, a proper guru, maybe something to look for, is one that's willing to learn and accept that they're wrong as well, hey?
Well, one of the things that Ramji said to me, and I relive this on a daily basis, is that when you first meet a client, you should ask yourself, what is it that this client has come to teach me?
Wow.
And I think that that's such a powerful thing, because I know that in working with another person, I will be changed as much, maybe more, than they will.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're awake and you're learning, you're growing. Everyone's teaching you.
Yeah.
So that in my therapy situation, it's not like I'm some fountain of knowledge. It's that the two of us together are working whatever those issues are, and those issues will be partly mine as well. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of learning to get from working with another person. So my clients can actually become my gurus mm-hmm. as well.
Mm, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I got people I work for. Not so much anymore now. I tend to be quite selective over who I work with on design stuff. Just through experience, like I can just sense now that if someone's going to be trouble working for, then I'll just not work with them. But I learned plenty from them though.
I think that again, what you just said is really powerful, because what it does is it taps into that intuitive potential within the person. That what these people have done is they've taught you something. They've shown you that there are certain people you shouldn't get involved with.
Mm.
The first guy, when we came down here today, before we got on the first train, and we were in the taxi.
We were
actually talking to the taxi driver, didn't we? And we spoke to him. Yeah, what kind of people get in your cab? And he was saying very clearly about there are certain people that he doesn't let get in his cab, because he knows by their body language and their look in their eyes whether they're going to be difficult or not, or whether they've had too much cocaine or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
But he was very clear about he had learned.
He was actually. I was expecting him to say, "Oh, come out with all sorts of stories about," but he just said, "No, I don't let the weirdos in." Or the
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm very clear about that.
Maybe you should. You might learn something from him.
But he'd learned enough to not let him in, maybe.
Yeah, he learned the hard way. Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting little chat with him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What time was it? 5:30 in the morning or something ridiculous?
Something like that, yeah. I think what we should do is actually carry this microphone with us so the next time we're in a taxi, we can interview the taxi.
Yeah. True mobile podcasting.
Yeah.
We could do.
Yeah, an interesting man.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, some self-help tips then. First up, you are a teacher. That person listening to this right now, you are a teacher and a guru.
I would think of things. I mean, I do this kind of stuff with clients where it's useful to get a piece of paper and write down the 5, 6, 10 most influential people around you. Not necessarily big iconic people, but actually people around you.
Yeah, the people you hang around with. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, who are they, and what is it that you learn from them? What do they teach you when you meet them? And it could be that you get together and the thing that they show you most is that it's okay to have a laugh and have fun and to just be relaxed and easy together, and that's the learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you reinforce that when you do it because it's fun. Yeah, it could be that if you're honest, that there are some people that you meet that come and moan, or come, they've got negative gossip stuff going, and there's a bit that kind of feeds you in that.
You're a therapist, and so you must get a fair bit of that.
As opposed to a social negativity.
Yeah, yeah? Of course.
I get plenty of negativity.
You do all right out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the people that I work with have come along to get rid of their negativity, not to feed it.
So they're wanting to grow and develop it.
Yeah, so I give them the negativity back and say, I don't want that, you can keep it, thanks. Mm.
But you could also assess those in the wider world who are your icons and your role models.
Yeah.
And just think about how much they're adding to your life. You know, if it's that Millie... Do you hear about this Millie Cyrus?
No, what's that?
Well, I don't know too much about her. I'm fairly young, but I think she did some silly dance at a MTV award thing.
Right.
I'm really sounding older than I actually am here. But I believe she's a role model for a fair few young people today. Maybe she's just maybe people ridicule her all the time. But she's one of these singer LA types who's just gone off the rails in public.
Yeah, right.
But she's everywhere, man, all over the news.
But you get a lot of rogue personalities in the sense of people that are having problems who appear as icons. And either they become icons because the people that make them icons are resonating.
Yeah.
What's going on for
them. Charlie Sheen went off the rails a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere online and on TV for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't know if people were really... I mean, people were just laughing at him a little bit and maybe wrongly, you know, just basking in his downfall. But, yeah.
One of the things that I'm aware of therapeutically too is that, particularly with adolescent males, when you get a suicide, very often they come in threes. You'll get one person who'll commit suicide, and other people start to do copycat, and that can be difficult.
In the work that you do,
yeah, in the psychotherapy stuff.
Wow.
And very often, when there is one suicide, others will follow. And they will come in. Not good.
No, that's not cool. No.
But that is as much learning as anything else.
So, yeah, assess the relationships, immediate world and around you.
Yeah, and the other side of that is because you are a guru, you are teaching other people, whether it's your children, your partner, the people around you. What are you teaching them?
Yeah. Just be aware of what you're saying, how you're acting, what you're doing. Hey?
Be mindful and wake up.
That rings a bell. I'm sure we've spoken about things like that before.
Once or twice.
Hey, it all comes back to the same old themes, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's cool. I think we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
I heard some sirens before. I think they're after us.
Do you think?
I think they're on to us.
The MI5 building over there. Or is it MI6?
I think it's both.
It's the one that they blew up in the James Bond movie, isn't it?
Yes.
It's that one.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up, Sean.
Okay.
Cool. At this point, dear listeners, I realised later on, having recorded the episode, that Sean and I had forgotten to do a resource of the week. That's what comes when you don't have your usual kit in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have the iPad.
Vital bit.
Yes.
Vital bit.
So let's slot it in here. Have you got a relevant resource of the week, Sean?
Because we're looking at the idea of gurus, I think that this is a really good site to visit. It's called kafa.net. And it's about... the whole issue of gurus. And the thing that I like about it is it goes through lots of gurus and explains about where they come from and who they are. But the bit that I really love is that there's a list of connections at the end. The main one that I like is called the guru test. And it's like, does your guru pass? So you could take your icons and gurus and go and check the guru test and see whether they actually live up to becoming a proper guru.
You can put anyone in there then, I assume, can you? Or is it got to be a well-known person, or is it...
No, it's what they're saying is you know, does the person do this? Can they do that? Do they actually tick all the boxes to be called a guru?
Can they levitate? That kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost like you can pass the test in being a guru.
Wow. I'm going to put myself in there, see what happens.
See what happens, yeah.
Cool. Just before I go to my resource, I want to thank a listener, Kev Morgan, who on our Facebook site sent a message. He sent it to us after we'd recorded the episode, but he sent some suggestions for gurus of his own, a couple of which I'd heard of. For example, Will Smith, the actor, there's some really cool inspirational stuff that he's done on YouTube.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He worked his backside off, man, getting to where he is. Anthony Robbins, who I've seen him talk.
Yeah, Tony Robbins,
he's a powerful chap, isn't he?
Yeah, does a lot of good recorded material.
Yeah.
That I actually use that with clients quite a lot.
He's a force of nature. And a couple of that I hadn't heard of, one was John Bon Jovi, who
I know of him.
Well, I know of him, but I didn't realise... I think he practised a lot of kind of visualisation, that kind of thing, and self-development stuff early on to get where they are. And it's great hearing about guys like that who've...
Yeah.
And his band members who...
And that's the whole idea about thoughts become things.
Exactly.
That we create the future.
And I know Jim Carrey's the same.
Yeah.
The actor, he was big into visualisation with my neck.
Yeah.
Kev, thanks a lot for messaging us. Appreciate that. My resource of the week is the TED Talks app. I've got it for iPhone. I'm sure you can get it for the Android as well. And even if you can't, just go to the TED Talks website, because it's basically, it's gurus on demand 24/7.
Guru in your pocket.
That's an idea, isn't it? But there's so much cool stuff there. There's thousands of talks online now, all kind of bite-sized 15-20 minute talks.
Yeah, and they are amazing people.
Yeah,
and that kind of inspirational bit when you're feeling a bit down and you want a bit of woo to lift you up is a good thing to have.
Yeah, and you can refine your search between, you know, obviously inspiration and science and all sorts. So whatever you kind of hit you're looking for, you'll find something.
Yeah.
Amazing resource, isn't it?
Yeah, the best. Good.
Cool. Let's go back to London.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Sean.
All right. You take care, Ed.
Yeah, you too. For all the links that we've mentioned and bits and bobs, go to the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. You'll be able to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you really want to make us happy, you can leave a review on iTunes.
And of course you want to make us happy.
Of course, why wouldn't you? We'll read it out, good or bad, on the show and give you a shout. And that is about it, Sean.
That's good.
We've got a train to catch.
Yep.
Thanks, one and all. And have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.